Okay, let's begin. We're up to Simin Mem Halacha Tes.
How about
the page? Tes Zayin, page Reish Chav Vav. Reish Chav Vav. Halacha Tes Zayin. Okay, Tes Zayin. Yesterday we learned about going to the Beis Hakisei. Yesterday we learned about going to the Beis Hakisei before eating. Okay, yesterday we discussed the laws of going to the Beis Hakisei before eating. So we had the complication. You have two brachas, make the bracha on the Tefillos Yadayim and the bracha of Asher Yotza. What we do first? So we learn lechatchila. To recap, we learn lechatchila. The best thing to do is to wash your hands in a way in which you are not yotza the Tefillos Yadayim. To put your hands under the sink and to rub your hands. Your hands are clean. Now you can make the bracha of Asher Yotza, and then you wash again Tefillos Yadayim. Let's say a person made a mistake and he washed his hands with a utensil. He was mekayim the way one would wash for Netilas Yadayim. And now you have to make two brachos. The ideal thing to do is to make first the bracha of Netilas Yadayim and then to make the bracha of Asher Yotzar. Those are the two basic halachos from yesterday. Now we're going to discuss what happens to the person that's going to the Beis Hakisei in the middle of the meal. Yesterday you have to be washing. I have not yet washed. I have to first go to the Beis Hakisei and then I have to wash. I have a conflict. I have to wash twice. Which bracha do I make first? But let's say you are already in the middle of your meal and you have to step out for a few moments to go to the Beis Hakisei. When you return from the Beis Hakisei, do you have to wash your hands a second time? And if you do wash a second time, do you make a bracha? So here we're going to be presented with a major machlokes between the Mishnah Berura and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Halacha Tes Zayin. Again, it's a page Reish Chavav. Page Reish Chavav. The Vav on the top of the page is not... It's a Vav Ketua. It's a Vav Ketua. Simen Mem. On the bottom of the page, Tes Zayin. Mi Shebeemsa Suda Noga Begufoi Bebekoimus Hamechusim. Person touches part of his body that is normally covered. He scratches his hair. Or he goes to Beis Hakisei for Kitanim. So now notice, these are not Gedolim. The one thing he was very careful to mention, he does not go to the Beis Hakisei for Gedolim. Gedolim is called Nifne. That is a much stronger, that's a much greater degree of contamination. That could be a nafgamina. We'll see in a few moments. Tzorich litol yodav pam shenis. You have to wash your hands a second time. Avolo yivorech aleihem. Fascinating halach. When you come to the Beis Hakisei, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's not enough in this instance just to put your hands under the sink and clean your hands. You have to, since you're going to touch bread, you're going to actually continue eating a bread meal, you have to once again wash your hands in the Tilas Yadayim, just like you would do before you eat bread. That's a very, very important halacha. But when you do so, you do not make another bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. Now, let me read you what it says in the Mishnah. What? Of course, absolutely. But you do not make Al Netilas Yadayim. Now, that is the psak of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Now, let me read you what it says here in the Mishnah. Here I have in front of me. I didn't take out the Shulchan Aruch because it's a lot easier to find it in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Divrei Mishnah Berurah. Here he quotes this halacha. And he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, "Ein etzav." I'm going to read to you the words. This is the Mishnah Berurah now. What the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch said was the words of the Mechaber. The words of Yosef Kara, Sfardim. That's what he's. That's his. Mi shereitzel linoi kipsaka Shulchan Aruch levarich. Im noga b'shoyk v'yoyach v'mekomus hamuchusim al shichich b'roishu v'chol kietzbe v'kol shem noga b'mokam hatinayfos mamish ayos tzuracha v'afilu. I'm sorry, that's avalachatchilu lemaisa here. Nira sheyesh linhoi keachros hachaya adam de beosa tzurachov or shenoga betinuf mamish or shaholach vehiflik. A person actually goes to the Beis Hakisei, he touches part of the body that's not meant to be touched, or he is distracted for a period of time. Tzorich levorech shenis. Okay, so the Chaya Adam disagrees with what it says in the Kitzur and what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In fact, it says that you should make another bracha. So if you go to the Beis Hakis, no, I don't think people do this. I'm not aware. I'm not.
So you're getting the same question. When do you make the bracha?
Same thing. So you first make al tilas yadayim, and then you make ashriyot. That's clear. You go to the Beis Hakis in the middle of a meal, and you come out, you wash your hands with a utensil, you make netilas yadayim first, and then you make asher yotzar. But you are making an additional brach of al netilas yadayim. Yes, the chayodam. The also tzrocha v'shenaga betinov mamish, the Mishmur quotes this, tzrocha v'hevig l'tzrocha tzorich levorech shenis. V'imdaga b'shoik v'yarech u'mekoyim v'samachusim v'shechich v'rosho v'shehishin yach z'vitol v'yadav v'lo yivarech. The only time the Chai Adam says you should make a bracha is when you actually go to the Beis Hakiseh, either for Ketanim or Gedolim. But if you just touch part of your body or you scratch your head, that is not a level of Tumah which requires a bracha, at least in the middle of a meal, then you don't make a bracha.
Why doesn't he make you go through the two-stage process again? In other words, where you would wash it without a keli.
You should wash it without and then wash it until Tilas Yadayim.
You're supposed to do the Chachila. Why is the Chai Adam?
So why does the Chai Adam, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe if you first you wash it. Okay, maybe you're correct. I don't know the answer. However, the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Chai Adam and then he says, Yoyser Nochon L'Chatchila Shaloy L'Varich. Then he does conclude that it's better not to make a bracha, af behitel mayim v'shivshif, even if you actually touch the meraglayim. Okay, so he does, I take it back, he does seem to come out of maskana not like the Chai Adam. I don't know, I'm not exactly sure, because I have to really look into it more. I read in the art scroll, I have it over here, interesting. Art scroll, I didn't really go prepare properly, go to all the sources. It's hard to find time for everything. But here he quotes the Mishnah Berurah. He quotes the Mishnah Berurah that you have to wash again from the Chai Adam. And here he quotes a line. He dug up another line after he puts there three dots. Then he maskani comes out. I have to look up the simon. It's the Ber Halacha. I got to go into the notes. He's quoting two different Mishnah Berurahs. Give me half a second. Tezayin. Okay, here he quotes the Halacha. 69, according to Mishnah Berurah, 164, 13, one who defecates or actually soils his hands in a manner, 164, I think it's Chilik Beis, in a manner that would require until Siyadayim, see Mishnah Berurah, and Berurah, he quotes the Ber Halacha, he does mention the Ber Halacha, exactly the same source. When they wrote this, I have no doubt in my mind, they read this. I know the person who wrote this, Rabbi Kirzner, Shmuel Kirzner.
But what about Mishnah Berurah
itself? He quotes the sources. You go up to the Mishnah Berurah itself. He's quoting the exact same source. So he comes out of the maskan over here and Ber Halacha during a meal must recite a blessing upon washing the Yadayim a second time. When washing these circumstances, one needs to wash only once. He first recites Al Netilas Yadayim and then Asher Yotzar. That's the Mishnah Berurah's approach. See below. Okay, he just says in the footnotes. I'm not exactly sure. He's quoting the footnotes from the Mishnah Berurah that you should wash again. Okay, it's the same.
164. I don't know what.
164 base. 164. Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis. Sarach lachsav alitol b'kol shekeinim noga b'mokam hatinoifes mamish or osot tzrochav or yafilu hitul meiraglayim b'shivshef b'yodav v'kalamon b'simen kufayim. Okay, so this is the Mishnah Berurah passage that you should wash again. He's quoting here from the Mechaber. Let me read you the Mechaber. Mi sh'oimed b'sudam. Reading you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. V'niska shenaga b'shoik v'yarech u'mekoybos ha'mechusim b'odam o'shechich b'roishoy v'chol kayyotze b'zeh tzorich lachzor v'litol yodo v'yivorich al netilas yodayim. You have to wash again. The Shulchan Aruch says you should wash again, and the Mishnah Berurah says, of course, you have to wash again. V'kol shekein. doesn't make a difference. Even for the even less than ketanim, even just touching shenaga b'shok.
You have to wash with a bracha?
Yes, that's according to the mechaber. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you have to wash again. In the Mishnah Berurah paskens la'alacha, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's what you got to do. V'kol shekein im naga b'mokam hatinoifes mamish oyosat tzorachav. Certainly, ma'adach, the mechaber says you have to wash again. If you touch part of the body that's normally covered, you have to wash with a bracha. Certainly, if you actually go to the Beis Akisei for Ketanim or Gedolim, you have to wash again. You have to do it again. And that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, without any ands, ifs, or buts. And the Kitzur Shnuch clearly disagrees. And it says that here in the Art Scroll Kitzur, on the footnotes in the bottom, he makes that note. You should be aware the Kitzur Paschim is Lekula. You do not need to make another bracha. You have to wash a regular Tilas Yadayim with a Kli, with all of the halachas. It's not sufficient just to put your hands under the water, but do not make a bracha. However, here in the Kitzur, he quotes, he points out, look carefully in the halacha lemaisa puk chazima amad devar. The oilam does not make a bracha. I don't recall all the years seeing people who go out in the middle of a meal, come back, and they make another al netilas yadayim. Why? That's based upon two things. Number one, it's based on the kitz shulchan aruch. A lot of things that we do, many people don't know this. A lot of things that we do were brainwashed from the kitz shulchan aruch, from our grandparents. The kitz shulchan aruch used to be the Bible. It used to be. It really. And there are a lot of things that people don't even know where it comes from. It was once an example of things that we don't even know where it comes from. Why do we do this? And you look high and low, and people don't know where it's in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Today, for a period of time, it's been abandoned to a certain degree. We live in a generation today where everyone is into the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah.
The Mishnah Berurah,
to large degree, has taken over what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch used to be. However, it's coming back. We learn over here, they put a lot of money, they must have put in hundreds of thousands of dollars into putting five albums. This is a masterpiece. The Art Scroll. Kirzner. Five volumes. Five volumes.
Yes. They must have tried to convert it to the
five albums. So they do, they know, they have two very beautiful things. Number one, they have Mishnah Berurah and Piskei of Moshe Feinstein. They incorporate into the bottom, which no one has done, not that I'm aware of, anyone that has special kitchenach with Piske Halacha from Rav Moshe Feinstein. They have Rav Yosef on kitchenach, Svardim. There are a lot of things that the Svardim are very into kitchenach. They have, and also what came out recently was, this is a big deal, is Piske Tshuvas. Piske Tshuvas put out one volume, half of kitchenach, with a collection of his things that he wrote in his five.
This for his reference to Mishnah.
This, yes. Yes. Now here in the Be'er Halacha, let me read you what it says here in the Be'er Halacha. Dibre Maskel Lachzar. He comes out with Maskar. It's a very long Be'er Halacha, so I can't go through this now. But it seems to say he has a quotation. Okay, I can't go through this. I didn't do this. I didn't look at this. But he quotes here in this sefer at the end of the Be'er Halacha. He quotes Yoiser Nochon Lichatchila Shaloy Levarich Af Behitel Ma'ayim
Meshiv Shef. Is that a quote or is that him?
It's a quote.
Behitel
Ma'ayim. Yeah. Yoiser Nochon Shaloy Levarich. So he's quoting the Mishnah Berurah himself in the Be'er Halacha. So it's a little bit surprising. I mean, this is
one thing comes out here. I don't know if he meant it.
Yeah.
That you have to do the tila at the.
Of course, you must. You must use a utensil.
You have to do the tila.
The tila, yes. No.
When you go to daf mincha, then the people take the water. They don't wash the tila.
That's not ideal. That's not the right thing to do. For davening, you're supposed for eating. No. That's for davening. That's not for eating bread. No. Eating bread. We're dealing with eating bread. Eating bread is not davening. Davening.
You scratch your head while you're in the middle of the Suda, you have to go in and do two or three times a day.
Yeah, one time. You don't have to do one time. You have to wash with the utensil, koyach gavra, water until at least your knuckles, with the utensil, koyach gavra. Absolutely. That's halacha, for bread. If you're in the middle of a bread meal,
you go to the bathroom, you do ketanim, you're not going to eat. You
don't have to wash hands. You don't have to use utensil.
You don't have to use utensil. But when you're eating, you have
yes,
to eat
because eating is serach truma. Eating is a whole different, people make that mistake all the time. People, eating a meal is in a different league in washing hands. There's washing hands when you come out of the Beis HaKiseh. There's washing hands when you daven. There's washing hands when before you prepare, you prepare food, the things that you do in the home. But then there's washing when you come out of a cemetery. There's washing when you wake up in the morning. Washing your hands to eat is in a class by itself. It's in a league by itself, which has the most stringent halachas. And the question now is, you're in the middle of the meal, you go to the Beis HaKiseh, you come back in the middle of the meal, do you have to wash again? And the answer is absolutely yes. The only halachic issue is, do you make another bracha?
Now, who prepares the bread on the table?
No. They do not have to wash. You can work in the bakery the whole day, you don't have to wash. I don't know, the department of the city is going to be healthy, not going to be very happy with you, but as far as halacha is concerned, no, you don't have to wash.
Is only be eating more bread? Or
eating a bread meal. Eating.
If you're
asking me a question. If you're coming back in the middle of the meal, you're not going to be eating the bread anymore. You're eating fruit. You're eating meat. So you're not eating bread. It appears that it doesn't make a difference. It does, since it does not say otherwise. Since this meal is called a bread meal, and when you wash for bread, you have to wash. And you conclude with being a birchas hamazon. It's all one hemshach of eating. It could be because you may forget yourself in the middle of the meal. You may take another piece of bread. And if you're not going to take a piece of bread in this meal, maybe the next time you're going to take a piece of bread. Since you are in the middle of eating a bread meal, and in order before you touch bread, when you eat bread, you need to wash netilas yadayim. Now you've gone out in the middle of the meal to go to the Beis HaKiseh, so your hands are tummy once again. You must wash your hands once again. Do you make a bracha? That is the big issue. It appears halacha l'maisa, the minhag ha'olam is not to make another bracha. In Shulchan Aruch, it's clear as day that you make another bracha.
What do we say by the gedolim, you do make another?
No, it doesn't say that. No, it doesn't make a difference. Hanifne, doesn't make a difference. Hanifne, nothing makes a difference. You never make another bracha. That's what he comes out, and it appears, I did not read the Der Halacha, but it appears that he just quotes the Maskana, that even the Mishnah Berurah himself agrees in the Der Halacha that it's better not to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is quoting from different Rishonim. We don't always pass on what it says in the Mechaber, but instead to follow the opinion that you do not make another bracha when you wash in the middle of a meal when you go out to the Beis HaKiseh. Okay, so that concludes these halachas. Now, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah, to answer your question, Mr. Rapp, what he quotes over here, we learned over here yesterday from the Sefer HaPardes, where we quote from other Rishonim, the Mishnah Berurah appears to say that the best thing to do is not what we... I told you yesterday, we have to make two brachas, Asher Yatzar and Al Til Siodayim. I told you the ideal thing is to wash your hands in a way that's not mechayiv you in a Tilas Yodayim, to turn on the faucet, wash your hands, and recite Asher Yatzar, and then wash Netilas Yodayim and make a bracha Al Netilas Yodayim. It appears the Mishnah Berurah does not like that. The Mishnah Berurah holds that it's ideal to wash with a utensil and make Al Netilas Yodayim first and then recite Asher Yatzar. What we learned yesterday, you should do the other way around, is not from the Mishnah Berurah. That's a different opinion.
That's Rashi.
That's Rashi Sefer Pardes. Rashi Sefer Pardes. So you have different opinions. What exactly would be the ideal thing to do when you need to do both before you eat a bread meal? Should you wash in oifen when you're not chayiv, and then make asher yotzer and then wash, or should you wash regular and make the two brachas, but the first bracha should be the tilas yodayim and then asher yotzer? That's a little problematic. The chassarn in doing that, he mentions that in the art scroll, is because you're mechuyev to make the asher yotzer immediately. When you come out of the Beis HaKiseh, you're not allowed to delay. See, he said, you don't have it's a no-win situation. When you come to the Beis HaKiseh, your hands are dirty, they're tamei. Going to the Beis HaKiseh makes your hands tamei. And you have to say Asher Yatzar when you clean your hands. So if you go to wash your hands and in a way that you don't use a utensil, it's not a kosher netilah, you're only removing the filth. You're not removing the tumah. But you do have the milah, the advantage that there is no hefsek between the cleaning of your hands and the recital of Asher Yatzar. On the other hand, if you wash with a cup, then in addition to removing the dirt, you're also removing the tumah. You get in that advantage, but then the problem is you have to say Al Netilas Yodayim first, and then say Asher Yatzar. The disadvantage is that there's a hefsek between the washing of the hands and the recital of the Asher Yatzar. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can have your bread after you wash, but you can't have the cake, you can't have the milas of both.
Well, what you then say under all circumstances? circumstances, you go to the bathroom, you can wash it automatically without having to take the hefty.
L'chatchil, it appears that it's ideal, you don't have to. You're not mechuyev to use a utensil. But it's a maila, it's a hider to use a utensil. Because when a person comes out of the Beis HaKisa, you really have upon your hand two.
So what's the hefzik then? You just said that the concern is you're going to have
the hefzik, you're saying first the bracha of Netilas Yadayim. If you come out of the.
You cleaned your hands already, that's
you come out of the Beis HaKisa, you take a utensil, you wash it, you wash. What are you going to make first? Al Netilas Yadayim.
Correct.
And then you're going to recite Asha Yotzar. In between the washing of your hands and the Asha Yotza, you are mafsik by reciting another bracha that doesn't really belong there.
And that's critical? I thought it's a clean.
It's not critical. The Mishnah Berurah says you should do it. The Mishnah Berurah says that's what you should do. You should do that. That's what you should do. The Rashi says you should not do that. Rashi says it's more important not to be mafsik between coming out of the cleaning your hands and Asha Yotza than reciting on Atilas Yadayim. And therefore the only solution to work out the problem in that manner is to wash in a way that you're not Yotza and Atilas Yadayim. So you can say Asha Yotza immediately and then you'll wash again with a utensil in order to remove the tumah, and upon that you'll recite of Al Atilas Yadayim.
So Rashi says you don't have to worry about that. I mean, Mishnah Berurah says...
Each one is losing out. Mishnah Berurah holds that it's ideal to sacrifice the hefsek problem in order to wash with the utensil when you come out of the Beis HaKisei. Whereas Rashi holds it's more important to focus on the hefsek. That should be the ikar, and sacrifice the ideal of washing with the utensil.
Either way, you're mentioning.
Yes, that's a mailach, and we'll come, that's the whole simon to itself. That's a simon to itself. We'll get to that later on.
So which way do we go? The Rashi's way?
Whatever you do, you can do whatever you're comfortable with. Whatever you're comfortable with. You can do both. Either or. These matters, you can really do whatever you are more comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm sure you're doing all right. I'm saving on the water bill. I got to figure out.
The environmentalists will definitely tell you to do like the Mishnah Berurah. They'll say, oh, the Mishnah Berurah, he cared about the environment. You only have to wash once. Like they say, Hanukkah, they made a plea. Everyone this year should light one less candle. Save the environment for Hanukkah. So why light 36 candles? Why 35 candles? If everyone in the whole cloud is only one, think of how much you'll save the carbon emissions. How?
We have six children, and they're lighting six shamasim. Yeah. You're lighting a lot of...
You're saving a lot. Don't do the hidden mitzvah. Halacha did not take into consideration the environment. That's very clear. Did not take into consideration Hashem will take care of the environment. We have to follow the halacha. Let's go to the next halacha yidzayin. Now we come to new sugya. This is not halacha l'maisa. We don't do this, even though the kid says you should be nizer. The only time we do what we're about to learn from here on in is Pesach.
But Spartan do this
every day. Yeah. By the way, the Svardim have different. The basic rule is when you dip something in the mashke, you're not allowed to eat that food until you wash the tilas yadayim. What's the reason? What's the lamdis? Because of food, it's all an extension of tumah. The reason why we wash our hands before we eat bread is can be truma, and truma is susceptible to tumah. Chulin is not susceptible to tumah. Tumas yadayim, hands, are usually not more than shnios. Truma can become a shlishi. Chulin cannot become a shlishi. But when can a food become tamei? Foods only are susceptible to tumah if they first come in contact with one of the seven liquids. So if you're eating a food and the food is going to be dipped in water, that means the food will definitely be susceptible to tumah. It's coming in contact with a liquid, and if your hands are shnios, you will contaminate that food if that food happened to be truma. So as an extension of the laws of truma, which are the ikar reason why we wash for bread, we also on nizer, you should be nizer to wash your hands, the tilas yodayim, before you eat a food, a fruit, or a vegetable, or for that matter, anything which is customarily dipped in a liquid before eating. Okay, let's see inside. Ha'oichal davar, anything. Lav dafka, fruit. It can be a piece of meat. Anything which is customarily dipped in liquid. Dava she tibulo b'mashke, o sheba mashke al hamachol, v'adayin hulach min hamashke, and this food is still moist from the mashke, Even though you're not touching, when you're eating the food, you're not touching the place of matzah, so your finger is not going to come contact with the liquid. Mikol makom, doesn't matter. The food is susceptible to tumah. If you touch it, your hands are shnius, it will contaminate it. If it would have been truma, it would become under the right conditions a shlishi. Tzorich litol yodov tchila. However, since this is only an extreme chumrah, the kitzur paskins, rak lo yivorech al netilas yodayim. Do not make the bracha of al netilas, and that's why urchatz, the night of Pesach, we dip the karpas in the salt water. We're dipping food, either a vegetable, we're dipping a vegetable in liquid. That's why we wash urchatz, and we do not make a bracha. So you'll ask, why do we only do this not a Pesach? So he writes, V'harbe mekilim medavar zeh. That's why you never see people go and have fruit salads. Today it's a big thing. Everyone goes out today for lunch to the store, they buy fruit salads. They dip those fruit salads. The fruit salads have been washed in water. They've been cleaned in water. The derech is today you can't sell food unless you're food or vegetables unless they've been thoroughly rinsed and cleaned from bugs and who knows what. How come you don't see people going and washing before they eat their salad? That's what it says. They rely upon these words of the kitzur. Ideally, before you eat your fruit salad, you should take a utensil and you should wash and not make a bracha.
This is only if you touch the food. If you're using the food.
Oh, he goes on to explain that. He goes further. It depends. Dealing with fruit salads, many people, they use their hands also. It's not only the derech to use your even in a professional setting. They touch with a napkin. They shouldn't touch it. Okay, but many people today, even going in a professional setting, in a business meeting, the fruit pieces are large. Not that they will cancel, but people, they use their hands. It's not so uncommon. And he goes on to point out that if some people use their hands, even though you are meticulous to use a utensil, it already requires netila. So this is something which he advises is a good idea. Others say, no, you shouldn't do it. Not like the kids, because mechse ki yehoira. If you're going to go to a restaurant and say, Rabbi Sai, I'm going to the sink to wash. When the oilam is not nizer in doing this, and you do it, it's also wrong. It's mechse, it's gaiva. However, the night of Pesach, we're all on a higher spiritual level. We're nizer to do this perfectly the night of Pesach. Yudches. Mashkim nalinyin zeh heima shiva. There are what liquids are considered liquids that require washing. There are seven liquids. Ve'elohin yayin, wine, and any derivative of wine, which includes vinegar. Wine, vinegar that comes from wine, b'chin chometz miyayin. Vinegar, dvash, dvarim, honey. Shemen zayis, olive oil. Chol of milk. V'chlal zeh gam mei chol of whey. Grape juice is mei peres, no. Pure grape juice. Our grape juice is not pure anymore. It's diluted with water. It's no good. We concentrate, even if it's not concentrated, they could be in water also. So you have to know if it's pure grape juice, but no grape juice. No, it's yayin. I'm sorry. Of course. Yayin is one of the seven liquids. Correct. Also, whey, any product of milk, tal, dew, dam, shelbim, blood of an animal, chayiv, oif, or any type of animal, mayim, water, and visimonim. What is visimon? Visimonom. The way to remember the seven liquids is yad, shochat, dam. Avol, yad is yud is yayin, dam, shin is shemen, ches is cholov, tes is tal, dal it is dam. Those last two are dam. Okay. Aval shabe peros. I feel welcome. Should we give lots of mashkim l'shtoyts mischitas? Mischitas is a peros. Orange juice, pure orange juice, or pure apple juice, not from concentrate. That's probably what's getting mixed up with. Pure apple juice or pure orange juice. That if that the derech is to go cook or to go and dip your salad in this, you do not have to wash. Let's tell you a very cute simon. It's a very became very popular simon. How do you remember the seven liquids? The seven liquids that are cause food to become susceptible to tumah are hidden in the seven mo'adim. Okay, this is a very nice riddle. What are the mo'adim? Let's go with Rosh Hashanah. What's the liquid that is associated with Rosh Hashanah? Dip the apple in the honey. Honey. Yom Kippur is a little bit more difficult. Yom Kippur, tal. I don't remember the pasuk on the tip of my tongue. It's but Chazal say that tshuva is compared to tal, the haftorah, tal, I think it's after Shabbos Shuvah, if I'm not mistaken, Ketal Yisrael. Tshuva, repentance, is compared to Tal. So Tal is associated with Yom Kippur. Sukkah is very easy. What's Sukkah all about?
Mayim,
water. Mayim, spell for Geshem. What is Chanukah? Chanukah, easy. Shemen. What is Purim?
Yayin.
What is Pesach? Ve'ever alaych misbaseses bidomoich. Back is Dam. Dam Pesach. Dam Mila is Dam. What is Shavuos? Milchiks. What do you have in Shavuos? Cholof. So there you got it. Those are the seven holidays, and each holiday has a liquid associated. That's the way to remember Yad Shochat Dam. Those are the seven liquids. Halacha Yutes, Peros Shemiruchakin Bitsukar, sugar. Peros that have been sweetened in sugar. In water, it's not that they have to wash these peros or to soak them in water, but they preserve it in sugar. It's, sugar is not considered to be a liquid. The gam halach luchas, yeah, pretty much. He's going to mention that soon in a moment. Things that are preserved. The gam halach luchas shiyotim na peros loy havi mashke shu mei peros. Moisture that comes on the surface of peros is not called mashke. It's considered mei peros. And these types of any natural moisture that is on an apple or an orange, apples and oranges, even though you wash them before you eat them, it's not the derech to dip them. So it appears that washing, if I'm not mistaken, just because you normally wash fruits and vegetables when you eat it, you don't dip it in water, it appears you don't have to wash your hands when you eat fruits. Let's say the fruit is wet, it's moist. It's a moist fruit, it's lachluchas. No, the lachluchas is not one of the seven liquids. The lachluchas is one of, it's meperos. And meperos does not require washing. But let's say they have been preserved, or they have been what's a good translation for meruchakin? They have been preserved or soaked in honey. In nikrash hadvash, if the honey has turned hard, so dvash is one of the seven liquids. Let's say the honey is hard. It's spiced. It's spiced in honey, and the honey is hard. In nikrash hadvash heitiv oz yotz michal mashke. So that's not a problem. If the honey is hard, the derech is to eat this in honey that's been hardened on the surface of the fruit. That's not called mashke, even though it's honey, and you do not need to wash. But the derech to eat this dish is to eat it with soft honey. Ella nis avu, even though it's thick. Ma'at ve'adayin heim nigrim, it still drips, it's still fluid. Tzrichim netilas yadayim v'chein chema butter. Butter, for this matter, has the status of milk. It's a derivative of milk. If it's hard like a rock, then in a mashk. Butter that's hard like it's not, but if you have soft butter, I don't know where you draw the line, soft, but if it's a type of soft butter, then it might indeed have a status of a liquid. And being that it's a product of milk, if you have a fruit or dish that's some food that's dipped or eaten with this thing, you have to wash netilas yadam. Yor Yishraim should wash netilas time without a bracha. Chof.
Soups.
If you have
soups
fruit,
are all
liquid, so you have to wash it. The derech is to have a salad and to dip the salad in a certain type of fruit, some fruit. So then you would be mechuyev lechatchila to wash. Yeah, because soup is mayim. What is a soup? It's 99% water. With some flavoring. So it's water. So water requires the food that you're eating, the tilas yudayim.
Grapefruit. With sugar, you don't have to wash.
Sugar, no. He says sugar is not called mashka.
Using honey, you have to wash.
Yeah, that's what it seems to say. That's the derech is to eat with honey. Yeah, that's what it seems to say. Correct. That's what appears. I don't know, today it seems like it's a very big business. I'm not familiar, but it seems like when I hear that you go, the people, they go for lunch in Manhattan, and they go for lunch, the salad stands, the line goes around the block. It's a big thing. That and sushi. They're two popular on lunches. Sushi and salad bars, and the salad bars seemingly come with all these type of condiments where they dip the salads. It's a new thing of this generation. Only the last 20 years, 15, 10 years, it's getting more and more. So you have salad. The derech is to dip the salad.
Soy sauce is not a makshir.
Is it not? What is it made from? You have to know what it's made from. So it could be in a chanami, if it's made Paris or not. But if you have some type of, they have all these different types of dips. They have all these different, that what's the halacha if it's not the majority ingredient? Maybe the water is bottled? I don't know. Maybe just because it's a small amount of water, it's insignificant. Maybe you want to say the same when it comes to, when you say when it comes to apple juice and orange juice, concentrate. That even though, but since regular apple juice and orange juice is permitted, since this is only a chumrah, it's not an ikar hadin, I don't know what the answer is. How far you go in mixtures, taruvus, what's the ikar, what's the tafo, how far you go. But it is today definitely more of an issue than it ever was, because it's definitely become more common to have salads with different types of dips, and some of those dips definitely are in the category of the meperos, of the seven liquids, which would require a netila lechatchila. Let's see, chaf aleph. Dvarim shadarkon lechlon. Now here's what you mentioned. Let's say you have these foods, but you eat it without coming in contact with the food. Dvarim shadarkon lechlon beloy chaf mizlag, without a spoon or a fork, mazlag, a fork. Afilu oichal al yidei kaf mazlag sarich netilas yadayim. It does not matter. Even if you, since the derech is to touch it, that's the derech. Even if you are meticulous, you are finicky, and you will not touch the food with your bare hands. You're going to use a utensil. Since the derech ha'olam is, we go bas saroyv, most people do come in contact with this food with their hands. You do need to make a bracha. Avol davar she'ein darkoy lechol rak. Al yidei kaf, only with a spoon. Kegoin levivos chayotzim beans, certain types of beans. You don't eat these things, even though you dip the beans in some type of water or liquid. Vechein peros miruchakim, spiced fruits, bedvash, bemokam shein darkum lochal al yidei rak al yidei kaf. Oy mazleg ein tzarech netilas dam. Another leniency. This whole halach only applies in situations where occasionally you will actually touch the food with your bare hands and dip it into a liquid. But if you're never going to do that, it's always going to be through a utensil, then you do not need to wash at all. Chaf aleph. Kol shenases mimayim, havi b'chlal mayim. Anything that comes from water is included in water. Ki hamayim av pi shenikashu lo yilo yotze b'chlal mashka. Ulechei, what do we mean? Hatoivel tzinoin arad shchodeme b'melach, in salt. So before we discussed sugar. Sugar, we said, is not considered to be water. But salt is. So where does the salt come from? Okay, our salt doesn't come today from water anymore. So I don't know what that, but lo yotze b'chlal mashka. What?
Would you title it in water also? It's salty water, but it's water.
If you have salty water, but let's say you just put salt. Let's say the derech is you always just pour salt on something.
Right.
So do you have to wash a piece of pizza? A piece of pizza. You go and you put salt on the pizza. And I'm only eating one piece, one slice, making them zonos. But it's davar, that's dipped. It comes in contact with one of the seven mashums. So do you have to wash for your pizza when you're not going to even make hamotzi? I do not know. Ulechein hatoivol tzinoin uchudoyme b'melach. Zet tzorech netilas yadayim. You have to netilas yadayim. Yayin sraf. What about whiskey? Shnase mitua either comes from grain, or miperos, ain't a mashkalin, zed, that's not called liquid, the leavirak, zea minatua, minaperos, they'll be shiesh gamayim, oh, you have a taruvis, you have also water, umozo gam came to mind, mikomokam, him hamiut. The water is not the main ingredient. It's a minority. Look in there for a table, boy, eats a dover, we eichel, ein tzorch, netilas time. I guess in Hungary it was common to dip things in schnapps. That is a whiskey, and therefore he holds a whiskey, it's not called a mashke, you don't have to make it for a dime. Aval, yayin, sraf, schnassim, in a chart, sonim, the azogim, or bin a shmom, shal yayin. But whiskey that's made from a liquor that's made from the product of the vine, whether from the shells, the pits, the seeds, all those type of things, nearer to have a mashka, and you would need to make a bracha. Okay, let's see. There's one little halacha on the bottom. Halacha ches shein darkon lech levachay de kaf kein kosev that toys off. Halacha ches on the page rosh chav zayin. The ayin mishal shuvus nachlas miyamin. The mehay time a mish oichel pas sabah bekisnin pesisim ketanu mesech coffee.
And you take your Danish. Okay, you go out for breakfast to Dunkin' Donuts, and you buy a Danish, and you dip the Danish in the coffee, so you're eating mizoynos in mashke. Ein tzarech netila came on the darkon lechol al yidei kaf, v'loy ovid diyiga b'mashken oy b'psisin. Small pieces. Because you eat this to a spoon. diga b'mashkin, you're not going to touch the mashkin, or b'bsis the pieces. Now that means he's discussing a case where it's teeny little pieces. Where you take mizonos and you dip this mizonos into a coffee and you use a spoon. But what do people do today? You see this all the time. People dip. They dip their donuts or they dip other foods in their coffee. So you do touch the, you are touching the donut. So l'charif, what he's saying over here, it would appear that it would be proper. So it's not required. But l'chol yoreh shemayim, it would be proper. If you do eat like this, you would be required to wash the tilas yadayim. So that's a fascinating chumra, which I don't think you'll see people do. People chal not misery this altogether. But there is such a, there is something to it. There is
there's even a bigger chumra.
Yeah.
If you're mixing coffee, you're making coffee, so you taking your coffee beans and you're making the work.
That's not cool. That's called the mash. That's not called the oil. The halacha of washing is for eating food. That's the first rule. The halacha when you need to wash is when you eat a machol. If you have a drink, if you produce something, you produce a mashka, a liquid, through foods, put in a blender. You put it in a blender and you take all this whole concoction of fruits and vegetables and who knows what, and you press the button and it turns it into a liquid, into some... that's not called a mashka.
Vegetable soup is
it? It's a mashka. You're right, Nechanan, that's a mashka. The only requirement to wash is when you're eating an oichel, a macha, a food, and the food is being dipped in liquid. Coffee, maybe you'll tell me it comes from foods, but the bottom line is when it's served to you, it's a mashka. You don't have to wash for a mashka. Eating a food that you dip in the liquid, a salad. You have a salad and you dip the salad in, take those cucumbers, basically with their hands. I see that. They take those the red peppers or the green peppers or the yellow peppers. Or they eat with their, people take it with their hands, they buy a little kit, they write, it comes with a little nice pack. They give you some of the little plastic fork if you want. But many people, they take those big pieces and they take and they dip it into that little thing in the middle. So what's in the middle? I don't know. They probably give you a big selection of what kind of dip you want. They have a whole assortment, a whole variety of what you want. Some of those things are the seven liquids, which will be forbidden. What?
Oil and vinegar.
So you dip it in, and you're using your hands. It's proper to wash the tilas yadayim. Take a piece of cake or a donut, and dipping in coffee and eating it, you have to wash. Only time you don't need to wash is if you only eat this thing with a utensil. So that would be the exception.
Smorgasbords at weddings, you have to tell people to wash.
Smorgasbords at weddings, you have what?
They have all these
things dips. Right. Now it's a big thing by smorgasbords. I don't remember that right.
You have payers.
Right. Smorgasbords now became a big thing by smorgasbords to have also a salad bar.
Right.
My day, there was no such thing as a salad bar by smorgasbords. Now, today, it's a whole new world. Salad bar. What? Sushi. Sushi, that's also a new thing, relatively speaking, a new thing. That never existed. Raw fish, only ask me this child. This is a very good, very good. What would you say to the child? I don't know the answer to you. A whole bunch of Talmidim I'm talking about this Friday night in Shul. Sushi. This goes back to what we learned 2 weeks ago about the laws of Bishul Akum. So in Halach and Shulchan Aruch, the only time there's a problem with Bishul Akum is Davar that's not Nechel Kamo Shuchai. A food that's nechel kamo shehu chai, if a goy cooks it, there's no prohibition of bishul akum.
Right, so you can have tuna and salmon
okay.
Nowadays because of
sushi. So now, what happens? A person told me this story. He went into a fish store, into one of these little shops. They have sushi, and they had sushi, which is it's raw fish. And he asked the guy behind the counter to take the sushi and to put it in the microwave, which is something they don't normally do. They don't normally put sushi because sushi is raw. It's a certain type of raw fish and whatever, they wrap it up. And he wanted it cooked. He wanted it in the microwave. So the guy, the Mexican behind the counter, he took the sushi, put it in the microwave, and he pushed the button and he made it hot and he gave it to him. And it was warming up. Is it cooking? I don't know exactly. But he put it in the microwave. So the question now is that bishul akum? So in Shulchan Aruch it says beferish fish is shaykh l'mishlach. Fish in Shulchan Aruch is something that's not nechel kamo shehu chai. But we live in a world today where fish is nechel kamo shehu chai. So it's not an issue because it is only in chai. Sushi is only in chai. So one of shach. If the fish is cooked, ain't achanan is mishlach. If the sushi, the mahus of sushi is it's not being cooked. You don't do it. Here's an unusual case where a guy took the sushi and he cooked the sushi. So if you follow the regular rule of fish is this is treif, it's bishul akum. But if you follow the rule of it's davar shenechol kamoshu, it's the kamoshu chai sushi. This type of fish, sushi is a certain type of fish. The very day after a certain, they have to get certain. This type is bizman hazeh nechol kamoshu chai.
Come to that. You have to come to that. This sushi over here, if he wouldn't put it in the microwave, he could eat it.
Of course, that's the way it's meant to be eaten.
So if he's taking it and
I'm putting it now in the microwave and he's cooking it, a guy is cooking it, does that now make it treif because of bishulakum?
Because he could eat it the way it is.
But he doesn't want to eat it the way it is.
So it's the cooking process.
If it was just something that was not in Shulchan Aruch, absolutely right. It's nechel kamo shulchai. But the problem is in Shulchan Aruch, it says that by definition, fish is something that's not nechel kamo shulchai. Living in a world today where we're going against what society has changed.
If someone take today an apple and he wants it baked,
mutter, because an apple is nechel kamo shuchai. A baked apple is mutter. It's nechel kamo shuchai.
So
but
he goes into a store that sells
the problem is in Shulchan, I know right, that would be fine because in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't talk about apples, so the apples you just follow the rule. The problem is in Shulchan Aruch it says that fish ruba de ruba is not nechel kamo shuchai. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about apples. In Shulchan Aruch an apple is mutter. Apple is mutter. Fish is osur. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If a guy cooks fish, the fish is treif. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, we have today people, the whole world, millions of people are eating fish that's raw. Okay, it's kosher, because the guy didn't cook it. That's the way it's being eaten. Now I take that fish and I cook it. My question is, do I follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch? Or do I follow what, like the apple example, that apples, it's eaten, since this is eaten raw, I don't need the guy to cook it, I just happen to want to cook. Where do you draw the line? Tough question. I don't know the answer.
But technicality, is it really cooking? I mean, it depends how long.
Oh, that's another question. Putting in the microwave the cloud. Right, so eggs, cooked. They talk about eggs. Eggs is the exception. Eggs, you really transform it. Putting in the microwave, you're not really, it's not really cooking. Because to cook something, it requires a significant change. Putting a piece of fish in the microwave, heating it up, that's just warming it. That's not necessarily called cooking. So that's another reason to be lenient in this particular instance. But maybe not. You put something in the microwave for a period of time, there is you can argue that there is a significant change. I'm sure someone talks about this question. I don't know the answer, but I just...
I heard that nowadays, because sushi, you can eat any tuna fish...
Cooked.
And any salmon... Cooked. Doesn't matter.
It's not so similar, only because in Shulchan Aruch it says beferish that fish is something that's nechol kamos. But also the person that was discussing this issue explained that sushi today is not regular tuna.
It's a special
type.
Sushi gray, but that, I don't know. I think Rav Shefter once
said
nowadays you probably...
That's what he's asking?
It changed.
There are different... That's part of the question. It's not just one type of fish. It's the sushi that's sold in the market for sushi is a different type of fish. It's not exactly tuna and salmon. It's a little bit different. And there are many variables in... drawing the line, answering this question of Bishulakim. Okay, we'll stop here.